Well, guys, we made it. We made it. We made it to a new week, a new day, another chapter. Some of us didn't get that chance. If you made the wake-up call, shout out to you. CJ here, and this is the sound of Black and Brown. So, guys, I'm kind of perplexed. It's been one hell of a legislative session here out in Connecticut. A lot of disappointment right now. We needed time to recover, still need time to recover. Quite disappointed by what all that happened. We had a lot of big bills that were up on the table. Yes, it was a shorter session, but it begs the question, what do our legislators really do for us, for our community? I mean, I don't know what it will take for Connecticut to realize that we need some leverage for housing security. We need tenants to have rights, period. This is not a state that empowers a tenant at all. I mean, does it empower anybody? Let's be real, especially if you're black or brown, right? I'm not saying that we don't need educational services. I don't think anybody will say that. But I also feel like, in terms of education, there's a lot of fixing that needs to happen. So, having a conversation with a friend, and we were talking about this, and I was saying, well, part of the reason why we're seeing the grades and the outcomes we're seeing is because we have a mixed bag here. We have a lot of single parent homes, or the literacy rate in the house may not be what you think, right? You might have situations where, due to COVID, we had to make decisions and we didn't have time to spend with our children or child, or take care of certain things as we would have otherwise. I mean, there's a lot of different things happening here, and I wonder if we're thinking about that. And I really wonder if we're really thinking about the effect of COVID. I'm really, really starting to question that because, as someone who migrated from a little country that looks like a Timberland boot and came to what is supposed to be one of the most powerful countries in the world, I'm not very convinced that this is that whatsoever. I feel like in America, a lot has been allowed to be for quite some time, right? And it's more so, normalized bullshit, right? There's still a class system in place. Let's just say that out loud. Say it with me. There's still a class system in place, right? And you have to see that because I cannot imagine, after a global health pandemic wherein we all did a semblance of incarceration, meaning we were in jail, we couldn't go outside, we were shut in, right? And that was a nice version because for most of us, we had functional toilets and, TV and we had things to do, but we didn't get the full, jail experience. But I'm just drawing a parallel because when our friends who are incarcerated re-enter society, there is a reason why they need time and support to transition. You go from living like that and under those conditions, it has an effect on you. So, with that in mind, I'm really perplexed by America because, some of the behaviors that I'm seeing and experiencing myself, it begs the question, do we not realize that we may have all been more impacted by this thing mentally than we realize? Pause and think about that. What has changed? I mean, I know we've spoken, or it's been discussed, I should say, about the physical impact of COVID, but what about the mental health side? I contend that, by the way that people are, their temperament has changed. Some of us are less tolerant, we're more anxious. We find ourselves overthinking things more. We may find ourselves stressing about things that we hadn't before, like now you're worried about having toilet paper. I mean, for real. And I mean, that's not that far-fetched because I don't know about you, but I cannot roll up into the grocery store with just $30 and make it out with anything more than probably two, four, five things, depending on what I'm looking for, right? I mean, let's just be real. It wasn't that long ago that milk, eggs, and cheese were the least expensive in the grocery. What happened? What the fuck is going on? Like, what's going on with our chickens that I might as well just start buying chickens and laying my own damn eggs at this point? Like, for real, for real. I'm to the point where I'm starting to wonder, if my next house should have like a backyard so I could raise some cattle and have like a little mini farm, right? Because you go to the grocery, you have your little bit of money, you're trying to make the most out of it, but your options are so limited. Like, even in terms of vegetation, at one point we had a problem where everything looked like it was on steroids, and now, everything expires so quickly. In conversation with friends, I find that this is a very common problem. Like, you go and you buy your tomatoes and your onion, it doesn't matter where or how you store it, it expires within days. It's completely pointless. So what do you do? Do you just do without? I don't know, right? I mean, I find it so interesting that while in the midst of COVID, okay, I would never forget going into the grocery store and noticing that all the frozen food, most if not all, was gone. And I was so confused because this is a health pandemic. What? I was actually expecting the fresh foods. Why is that still sitting there? Why would there be fresh fruit and veggies sitting there staring at me? I'm confused. Don't all those things, most of them things contain all kind of additives and subtractions and all that shit. So why would you eat that if you need to be building up your immune system? I don't get it because, quite frankly, when I would go shopping, most times it would actually be for the opposite. I was the one rushing and thinking, oh my God, they're going to be out of tomatoes. And then I get there and there's a bunch of tomatoes just sitting there staring at me in the middle of COVID. Right? When we should be taking care of ourselves, self-care. But we also had another problem during COVID with COVID itself within the black community and the brown community. Right? Many people still. Then, till now, did not want to accept this thing, did not want to accept that there is such a phenomenon. I mean, maybe because we're so used to it seeing it happening in Asia and Africa and in those spaces. You know what I'm saying? Because in those spaces, when malaria and stuff like that happen, it affects them, it doesn't affect us, right? When they have swine flu, it affects them, it doesn't affect us. But this time it affected us too. But did we really understand that? Right? We just got a whiff of what that was like. The difference is in our whiff, we actually have support services and resources, whereas these folks don't, but we continue to take from them. Because why? America loves to possess. It does. It does. And unfortunately, this historical cultural value is one that's embedded in this society. It's like, I mean, it's branded in, right? What do I mean by that? I mean that, mental wellness in black communities is not something that is seen as needed or necessary. And it's very, very sad. And it's quite concerning, especially considering, the phenomenon that we just all survived together. Because I dare say, more now than ever, we need mental wellness services. Like, we really need it. A few weeks ago, right here in New Haven, there was such a tragedy that happened. It really made me so sad. In 1 week, within 1 week, we unfortunately lost five black men. Different scenarios, but within the same age range, interestingly. Sadly, of the five, three were due to substance use. Now, what's worse is that of the three, one of the cases at least was someone, as they would say, you would never think. Like, this individual seemed to be functioning quite normally. But here's something else that I do know. Right now, we have people out here using some really unhealthy coping mechanisms, right? I know that we need to unpack. I know that we need to get things off. But there's some, we, at some point we have to look for a solution too, right? We can't just keep doing it and not expect one day for things just not to go that way. And so in this situation, this individual, for the most part, if you saw him around, you would just assume he was just another guy hanging out, doing his part, trying to help his community and all these wonderful things. But deep down, there was a lot of other things happening as well. And who knew? Who knew? And that's something that's been happening more and more, right? And we got to think about that. We got to think about why is that happening? But then let's also think about the driving. I keep bringing this up because I feel like I don't understand how people aren't seeing this, right? I mean, the way that people drive these days, where the fuck are you going? Like, if you know you needed to get there on time, then leave on time. That's my philosophy. If you know that you're going somewhere and you're not used to being there, make the effort, wake up the few minutes early, have the discipline, and want to be there. But it doesn't make sense to me that, you know, some of us feel that it's cute and funny to go, you know, ziplining through traffic. I mean, that shit's scary as shit. I have friends who do transportation in different forms. One does drives trucks, you know, he carries big loads from one state to another. Another does airport transportation. A couple of them actually transport patients and children. And I think about them when I'm on these highways and I see how people drive and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Right? No. Here's the thing. We have to take our part in this. I'm not a big believer in policing, but my God, right? Because short of putting spikes on the highway, what else can we really do? And most times when these people are driving so recklessly, it's usually in some real dangerous spaces. Like, look what just happened right here in Connecticut on the I-95, right? That was major, and it actually had one hell of an impact. You know, people's internet communication, all of that was affected, much less the fact that this was happening right near them. I mean, I can't imagine being on the road that day. I would not want to go back on the highway. I'd have been like, you know what? I'll just fly back home. No biggie. I would have probably taken every other possible route but the 95. Seriously, knowing myself. Because that's scary, you know, to drive past and through that, right? And it makes you wonder, like, what are we really thinking about? What are we thinking about? What's really going on here, right? We have more and more situations where, you know, we're seeing it happening, where people are not really taking care of themselves. And we have some unfortunate circumstances where folks are using methods to cope, such as drugs, right? Now, I'm going to bring up another topic that some people might not like, but we're going to go there. Now, I know that there's other means of resolving the pain aside from drugs. In particular, I want to address self-harm. Now, in my opinion, I am not opposed to that. Let me just be clear. I do understand that this is a coping mechanism, but I also recognize that there should also be a resolution because let's just use, for example, self-mutilation or cutting, as I would probably should say, you know, not trying to offend anybody. But you are kind of like taken away from yourself, and eventually, depending on where you're cutting, after a while, functionality and other things get affected. My question is that how long do you do that for before you decide that it can't just be this is the solution? Now, bear with me, friends, because in saying this, what I'm saying is I do know that some folks use this as a means, amongst others, to cope. Right, I understand that. And I do believe we should have spaces where people feel comfortable because most people do that. They have to hide, they're secretive, which just makes it worse. You know, you don't want somebody to get too comfortable, in my opinion. But see, that's where it gets interesting because what's the resolution here? Should we leave it up to the people in our community to help us work through that? Or should we realize that this is why we need professionals involved, especially ones who look like us and some who may have had that experience? Now, I'm with the latter. And I'm with the latter because, as good as I am at some things, there's some things I'm not so great at and some things I need help with, right? And sometimes I don't feel like putting that burden on my friends, and sometimes my friends wouldn't know what to do or say. Or sometimes I might not want to talk to them. Right? So I'm just going to walk through a scenario that comes to my mind. If I'm the kind of person who decides that I want to take a knife and cut my leg as a way of coping with my pain, and then now I have an opportunity to do that in a safe way. I would think that, the best thing for me would to have a resolution. Now, keep in mind that, as I see it in our heritage, we were mutilated enough, right? Let's be real here. Our people were put up for display, they were whipped, they were slapped around, raped, all kinds of emasculation, all kinds of mutilation. Do you not see how that would have turned into a way of being a coping mechanism? If that is what normal looked like, what do you think? How do you think trends or beliefs even start? If a society is used to seeing this is how we treat people, or this is how you cope with something, eventually that's gonna, in my opinion, that's gonna come down the line and it's gonna become a way of coping and dealing. But is it a healthy way? In my opinion, at some point, you should want, or those around you should want for you to find other ways and actually deal with whatever is carrying you to that point. Now, do I think that somebody who is at my level of education and training could do that for me? No. I think that would require someone who has dedicated the time and the effort and decided that this is something they wanted to do to improve their communities. They wanted to help others. And they want to address these problems. And they don't want to see their brothers and sisters running around here cracked out or, mistreating themselves or, not taking care of themselves, making bad decisions, gambling, right? Not taking their medications on time, letting that diabetes catch up with them, stuff like that. You name it. We do actually have black and brown doctors who care about that. And they do actually give a flying fuck about their communities. Let me tell you that. Right? And I do feel like in our communities, we were groomed into despising any level of mental wellness. Think about it. Think about it. What was slavery? Was that mental wellness? No, the fuck it wasn't. It was shut the fuck up or you die. So if I had to live and survive through that, why would I think there would be any level of resource or option or, for lack of a better way of putting it, the white man actually going to care and help me with my problem? Why would I see that? Especially if I go into spaces and most of the people providing the care do not look like me. Why would I feel comfortable in that space? Why would I feel comfortable in that space if historically, right, the way that mental wellness was addressed, and still to this day in some states and situations, is by using brute force? I mean, look at how many cases of police brutality we have had. What do you think happens when folks get, as they say, committed? They don't get like a bouquet of flowers and get shown to a suite. That's not how that goes. But I think we need to recognize that there's a correlation here, right? Now, I'm not saying that I agree with institutionalization. Don't come for me. I ain't fucking say that. I'm saying that we need to have spaces where people could get the services. Some of us might need more specialized care. Now, when I said that, I did not mean that you have to bring out, shock therapy and other things. I never, or medications. I never said that. What I'm saying is we need someone who has the time, the expertise, and the knowledge to address that problem. Someone who has studied this and could understand how things correlate. Stigmas, environments, foods, thoughts, education, upbringing. Somebody who has spent that time and dedicated themselves to recognizing these triggers because they'll help you work through it. That doesn't mean that they'll medicate you. It may mean that depending on what you have happening, they may make certain recommendations for your benefit. Listen, let me put this up there for you. If you are someone who's mentally unwell, because I myself, I prefer that term personally, because I feel like the term mental health is very triggering to people and it's highly stigmatized, in my opinion. So, with that in mind, I think we should be cognizant of how that plays out. And with that in mind, we should consider how narrative plays out, because a lot of narrative is and will continue to be used against us. I mean, we're a stigmatized society, right? Right now, as I speak, I can honestly attest to, not that I'll dishonestly, but just for clarification for the trolls, unfortunately, knowing of several circumstances of black women and those who identify as others, meaning they, them. I don't know how to articulate this any better. I'm sorry, guys. But what I'm trying to say is there's a brewing phenomenon that I don't think that people are paying attention to. And as much as I try to share the story of Dr. Candia Bailey, I don't know if people really understand why that story is so very important. Her story is super important because her story is the epitome of what's happening right now in the workplace that is being ignored. A lot of black women are being treated very badly, and it's at a time where food prices and housing is all over the place. It's not going down, it's going up. People are losing housing, having to make snap decisions. Like, these landlords are out of control out here in Connecticut, right? They're not giving you enough time to move out. They're not even trying to wait for your ass to move out in some cases. And they will use the law as they see fit. Now, what adds to the problem is if your landlord is like that, you have very little protection or support from the police because the police will show up and they will make it very clear in some cases that they cannot get involved, they can't touch you, they can't do that, they can't do this, because if they do this, XYZ, and they have to follow this protocol, some kind of horse shit like that. The whole point I'm trying to make is the whole system is not skewed in favor or even in any type of anything toward a tenant, which is very sad, but it's a harsh reality. Now, keeping that in mind and food prices, these are the kind of things people are walking into work with. We didn't even start talking about the education system yet. Where's the relief? We hear all this talk about diversity, equity, and inclusivity in Connecticut. But where the fuck is the diversity, equity, and inclusivity in our black mental wellness? Because I can tell you personally of bearing unfortunate witness to my Caucasian peers, very vocal about the dumbest shit, in my opinion. Oh my God, I broke that nail that I just got. Who the fuck cares? No, I don't want to hear about that Netflix show. I don't care. But you at work complaining about that. Meanwhile, I'm trying to figure out how the fuck I'm gonna pay this UI bill. Right? Because not all of us have that privilege. Some of us actually have to pay our bills on our own. Some of us do have to make sure we have food in that fridge. You don't know what people walking into work with. But the black and brown, and especially black mental wellness, seems to be non-existent in this country. And I'm so confused because, I would have thought, in this shithole, with all that it claims to take pride in, after a global health pandemic, it would be the pioneer in recognizing the mental health aspect of COVID, right? In different ways. I mean, look at all the things it triggered. It triggered anxiety, it triggered despair, disappointment, depression, all kinds of things. But I don't hear anybody talking about that. We've also seen upsurgence now. Slowly, it creeps up, it peaks, and then it goes down a little bit, then it goes back up of the drug usage. Very sad. And let's not forget, there were a lot of folks who did favors for others or loaned this one money, and now people are wanting their money back because they can't pay for this and they can't pay for that. So it's a lot happening. It's a lot of mentally stressful things that are happening. And I am very confused because I don't see how other people don't see that. I really don't. I'm really, really perplexed. I'm also confused by those who don't see the overlap between SUDS and mental health. I do, well, rather mental wellness. I do find that to be quite confusing because I don't see how you expect someone who is, getting away from being so dependent on something not to have some level of impact there, like some anxiety, some stress, some, something, not sleeping well. How is that not mental wellness? And how is there no correlation? Because whether or not you want to say it out loud, when you have that kind of, perception in that way, what you're really saying is that people who have mental unwellness were born like that. There's nothing that's triggering it. They're just like that. You just segregated us all over again. When I dare to say that that's not so, you could have had a perfectly normal upbringing and, for the most part, life, but then something tragic happened and it impacted you. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen situations where, the death of a loved one has really impacted people. It has led them to doing things to themselves and others they never thought you would have never thought. So how could there be no correlation? And why would you want to do that? Now, the argument is you don't want to put it all under one umbrella, but nobody said that either. Nobody said that. And quite frankly, the fact that we all just did that bid for COVID, we all need mental wellness services. I'm serious. Let's think about it. Look at what we did here. We decided, okay, we all just had to stay shut in for months. Here's a bright idea. Let's just all go outside again like normal. Are you kidding me? You know how many people I know, did not want to return to their office, like for real, for real? Did you know that? A lot of people decided after being quarantined and after working remotely and after having time away from their peers, their office peers, they kind of realize, shit, I don't really like working with you. I don't know if I really like working with you. I actually kind of dig being at home in my own space and being able to, be in my. Some of us liked it. I am one of those people. I preferred it, And a lot of it was a mixed bag, actually. I shouldn't say a lot. It was a mixed bag of the driving aspect and also the ability to be in my space, right? And have the supplies I needed when I needed it. Because that's very bothersome. Sometimes you're in this office spaces and you need something like a damn pencil. And by the time you fill out the paperwork, you need another pencil. So, there's a lot that goes into that. But also, is the office drama. Let's be real. Come on, we're grown. Who don't like who kind of like who know who, that all that shit. You know what I mean? Come on, right? But it's a hell of a thing if you really go and you research it. You'll find out some stuff, right? It changed the approach to the work life too. Some of us found out that maybe we need to spend more time on some things versus other things. Some of us realize that, certain settings do serve us better. Like, while I enjoy, or prefer, I should say, the remote setting, I do know of folks who actually prefer to be in person. They like that in-person interaction. They prefer to be in a place. Unfortunately, not all businesses can support that anymore. So what do we do? Because let's add to the list, on top of everything I just described, you also have landlords who are increasing rent. I also have to deal with that, like others. And then we also have landlords who are not taking care of their premises. I also have to deal with that, like others. Like, they're just not taking care of shit. You call them, they don't want to show up. You try to, stand up for yourself, and it just makes the situation worse because we have no fucking rights. You go to the grocery store and you tell yourself, all right, fine, I'll go splurge and buy myself some stuff to eat, snack out, and be happy. And then you realize, Jesus Christ, I might as well mind my business and stay home. Even things like fast food, things that, not that I am supporting any of them, because of course, hashtag Gaza, hashtag Free Palestine, we're boycotting still. But the value for the money, right? You go to some of these spaces, you gotta go with $20 just for your meal. That's crazy. And we didn't even start talking about gas yet. Like, really? And you all wonder why I say it's expensive to be poor. So let's dial this back. Some of y'all want to say, you denounce the need for therapy, you denounce the need for, mental wellness services. But look at what I just described. Don't you have a headache already? Imagine having kids in school, so you have to deal with that part, homework, taking them to school, bringing them home, feeding them, clothing them, all the fun stuff. Then you add to that, you have to, of course, have a relationship with them. So you have to make sure you're spending time, asking questions, showing interest. There's that part. You have to be present. But then you add to that, you have to also pay utility bills, rent, lights, gas, whatever else is on that list. If you have a car, you had to pay for that, right? And all those prices are going up. Now you go to the grocery store and you have to go and, pray before you walk through the door that you could actually afford what you're going in for, right? And get that and get the fuck out. Because otherwise, what the fuck do you have? You see? And you didn't even get to work yet. We didn't get to work yet. We're still on our way to work. Now you go, you say, all right, fine. On my way to work, I'm gonna go pick up some coffee. You go to pick up the coffee after leaving the grocery store where you just had to spend $30 to get stuff for dinner later. You go for your coffee now, and that drop you another $10. Jesus Christmas trees. Really? Now you head to work now. You can't find a parking spot. Are you stressed out yet? Because I'm aggravated. And this isn't even a real thing that I did. I'm just describing it, right? It's not like I'm in action in that sense. Like I'm not doing it live. Come on, man. Now you go into work. So you get into work now. And you thought you had your day set up. And let's just pretend it didn't go that way. This random coworker come at your desk, start talking about bullshit, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I want to be nice and take the fuck off, but I can't do that because then I'll look like that person. But sometimes you have to. Or you might have a situation where, the people that you serve are just being difficult. These things are stressful. They're stressful. So how do you deal with that? Do you go home and take it out on your family? Is that how we deal with it? Do we go home and drink and drink and hope it all goes away? I don't think that's how we should deal with it. What do you think? Should we go buy all those snacks and stuff it in our face or maybe starve ourselves? I don't think that's how we should be dealing with it. That's just my opinion. So I'm of the mindset that, I think we're in a time of history, if any other, because let's be real here. Some of us rely on the Lord as our savior, right? And see the Lord as our therapy, but the Lord could only do so much. You would also have to do for you. And the Lord in the Lord's book spoke very highly of being your brother's keeper. So would it not make sense to get help from someone to help you help yourself? I think so. I think we need to be more respectful too of our black brothers and sisters who decide to dedicate their lives to studying medicine because it's not an easy field and it's not one where there's a lot of us in it, obviously. So I think we need to think about that the next time we decide to denounce certain services, right? We need that representation. That's how we get better things. That's how we get better wages, better working conditions. That's how we get better hours, more options, right? So we need to support them. And they are there, believe it or not. Guess what? You don't have to go home and eat all them snacks in your cabinet. You could actually sit down with a therapist once in a while and unpack that shit. You don't have to go to work and feel like doo-doo all the time. I mean, you're gonna feel like doo-doo sometimes, I ain't gonna lie. But for the most part, why not unpack it with somebody who could help you figure out some stuff? Maybe there's some stuff that you may have to address that requires you to actually address it. The employer could only do so much, or your supervisor, or whomever else is involved. So what's so bad about that? Or what if, the fact that you're having to handle a home on your own, right? It's not easy out here being a single parent, by no means. Would it be better to null the pain by just putting yourself in situations that's like a hamster wheel, such as toxic relationships, or just spending time at the bar all the time? Or maybe a better idea and a more fruitful idea would be to sit down with someone who's professionally trained and can help you cope with what you can't identify. I kind of want to go with that one, right? And guess what? There are providers who look like us, our complexion. Believe it or not, and they are there and they are looking for you too, and they want to help you. But you need to want that service, and that starts with us as a community recognizing the need for mental wellness services. We need it, man. We're stigmatized and criminalized. There's a lot of grief, there's a lot of pain. Think about that. Think about the families who have to deal with, losing a loved one tragically. in the worst of ways that you can imagine. What you're going to do is bad enough that people are poor. Do you think that people have fun being poor? You think that they're not stressed out and probably doing things to themselves and others that they probably would not have been doing if they had a resource available and more so a professional to help them work through it? You think when they go to their doctor's office, the doctor give a flying fuck if they're stressed out about paying their light bill? No, that's not how that goes. That's not how that goes at all. So why not create a solution instead of letting a problem persist, right? I'm telling you, I speak on behalf of myself and others. The work environment right now for black women is shit. It is. We're being treated like crap. Look at what Dr. Candia went through. You know, I mean, this woman was phenomenal, but again, nobody saw the signs, nobody cared because she was expected to be resilient. Let's be real here. What did I start off the show by saying? Traditionally, we were trained to watch ourselves in despair. And we seem to like that image. Think about that. Put yourself in the shoes of your ancestors, watching their peers, their loved ones, whomever, probably even a perfect stranger, hanging from a tree, or being beaten, raped, tortured like that. You think they enjoyed that? Don't you think if they had the opportunity to get certain types of help, they would have taken it? Think about that for a second. Why do you think they escaped? Obviously, if these people enjoyed that type of environment, they would have stayed in it, wouldn't they? And I think folks forget, slavery did not end so long ago. It's not as long as you think. Put that into perspective as well. We were enslaved not so long ago. The funny part is that our ancestors fought for the freedom to get the resources, to get the access to the education so they could have doctors just like Master. So they could have a psychiatrist just like Master, a nurse just like Master. And what are we doing with it? I know, I get it. I know that there's a lot of work to be done to make our mental health, you know, wellness services. That's an ongoing process. That should never end. That should be continuing. That should be continual quality improvement, which for the most part it is. But you also have to understand part of that quality improvement requires you to be there for you to point it out. How are they supposed to know what needs to change? For example, one individual shared with me that she recently learned that most of her clients prefer to be remote, and now she is one who likes to be in person. Now, what is she supposed to do? Should she not service them? No, she realized that, wow, that was something she would have never thought to offer before. So now she actually does a mixed schedule where she spends some time in office, some time at home, and she actually prefers it because part of it was she would need to go into the office anyway now and again to access her notes. But also, you know, just a change of scene sometimes from being at home. She's, you know, like that. But the point is that had she not had the clientele to give her that feedback, how would she know that? And we should get better at talking about mental health with our peers too, because I feel like we do a good job of making our mental health a bad thing. Like, let's be real here. We most of us, my generation especially, you know, we were not allowed to share our feelings. You don't do that. If something happened to you, you keep it to your fucking self, right? That's what you do. And even the generation before me was even worse. Why? We came from slaves, and that's what you did. You shut the fuck up. You get that work done. Nobody cares if you cry. Nobody cares if you're drooling. Nobody cares if your nose running. Shut the fuck up and do it, right? And we got used to that. And unfortunately, we help stigmatize mental health. Okay? We don't talk about the fact that our women were mutilated. Do you know that there's very little studied and shared on the actual mutilations? Why do you think that is? What do you think we'll find out? I think we know what we'll find out. I think we'll find out that, you know, unfortunately, some of our ancestors were victims to some really heinous forms of torture. I mean, you're talking about people being set on fire while alive, beaten to death, raped, mutilated, all kinds of stuff, experiments. And, we need to really address that, right? Because that adds to the stigma, the fact that we don't want to talk about it. You need to talk about it, even when you don't want to talk about it. Even if you say a few words and the other person talking, that's still kind of getting you there, you know? But we also need to be kinder to each other because I also feel that that's something that's lacking big time right now in society. I say this all the time. You go into the store, how many people really actually greet each other? Say good morning, hey, hi, smile. We don't have to be like a beast all the time. Okay? Slow down. This is a very naturally passive aggressive society. You know that, right? And I hope you could see why. You were raised to be that way. This is a society, America's a society that has to keep going. It's on the hustle all the time. Go, go, go. You know? I said it before, there was a big mistake when they took away having stores close on a weekend. Some stores should be closed. They really should. It shouldn't be open. It's not necessary. Or at least make it a half a day. Give people their weekend back, right? But we insisted that we needed to be productive, and we decided productivity meant sacrificing your work-life balance. And here we are. You add being, limited to being in your house for more than a year. And what do we have here? I dare say we have a perfect, sorry, recipe for a disaster, a mental health disaster. And we're not paying attention, right? Mental wellness disaster, rather. Why are we so afraid of our own mental wellness? I'm not saying we shouldn't call things out. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk, hold people accountable, but I'm saying we owe it to ourselves to get that. We deserve it. It's past due. Way past due. We talk about reparations. Give us back our mental wellness. That's what I say. And part of that is us realizing that it doesn't have to be bad, right? Maybe we could help, these organizations recognize why we see it this way. I could give you an example. In feedback I've received about why, some folks don't receive, mental wellness services, one of the things that was brought to my attention quite quickly was they felt uncomfortable when they went in and the provider was not black. Or when certain topics came up, they didn't know if they could really talk about it with that person. They felt like the person was more so just like observing them. It was stigmatizing in a whole different way. It didn't feel comfortable, nor did the clinician involved or whomever seemed to recognize that, right? So the representation piece plays into that. But also two other things, made an impact, like the billing structure. That was another thing. Some people didn't, understand it or felt like the front desk was rude. Just different things that go into this. Or some people feel like the resources that are provided are not what they are. They don't really, come through the way that it's proposed. But how do these things get fixed if you're not there to address it, to say so? So I just want you to think about that. And I want you to think about the fact that we just survived this pandemic. And what should really happen now? Where should we be? Think about that, my friends. I want you to think about that. Well, let's take a moment now to think about our friends in Gaza, Africa, Congo, Haiti, right? Trinidad, right? All these people in suffering right now, South America, we're thinking about you. Let's take a moment of silence, everyone. Oh Allah, we ask for your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy that you come into our lives, hearts, homes, that you remind us that you are you and we can turn to you. Think about us, our families, our friends, our communities, those who are in Gaza, Congo, Sudan, Haiti, the children, the parents watching this happen, the grandparents, all the suffering. We need a ceasefire. It has to happen now. And we need more than that. We need global healing. We need to be human again and remember we are just as such. Give us the grace, the mercy, and the patience. Allah. Ameen. You know, my friends, there's so much happening right now, and the best I could tell you is do the best that you can. If you need to watch stupid videos on YouTube to unplug, do that. If you need to unplug from social media for a few days, do that. If you need to watch or just go outside, watch birds, something to just kind of get your mind right and reset, please do that. Please don't underestimate or forget the importance of that. If you need to cry, cry it out. Cry it out. Don't keep it in. Even if nobody else understands, you need to get it out. Because I'm telling you, the more you carry it, the bigger it becomes a burden. And most of all, if you want to take that step and try mental wellness services, go at your own pace. Trust me, there are providers out there. You don't have to go into Yale, right? Hashtag tax Yale. You know, you don't have to go into a major hospital. Go at your own pace. Or if you have questions, right? Let's go figure it out. But don't give up on you. You are important and you matter. And we can't thank you enough for your continued support and encouragement. Please continue to like, share, and subscribe. All right. And if nobody told you, let me remind you, you are amazing. Well, my friends, that's all for now. Fist up, smile on. Peace. CJ.